From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I am your host, Jake Skorheim. Thank you guys so much for choosing to hang out with us. It's like 9:06 at night. You guys could be doing anything else, but you know what you're doing? You're here, you're listening, you're participating. We're texting back and forth on the text line, 888-973-5476. If you guys didn't know that, if you don't have a rotary phone like I do, I don't. But if you don't have a rotary phone, it spells out 973, which is, you know, that's where we're at on the dial, 97.3 FM. 5476 is Cairo. Did you guys know that? Isn't that crazy? What are the odds of that happening? You just call up the phone company and randomly they give you 973 Cairo. You guys think it was random? I don't know. Maybe not. All right. Let's get to the show. We got a lot to get to. We only have a little less than an hour left, which is not much time. So let's get to it. This is kind of depressing. I don't know. I don't want to depress you. So I'm just going to tell you this story. You can decide how you want to take this information, but I find it a little bit depressing. Gas prices are going up.
All right, everyone. Gird your loins.
Gird your loins. Yes, exactly. All right. So this is an article on MyNorthwest.com. You guys can check it out there. But here's the headline. Gas prices up again in the state. See how much month to month. It's kind of a lengthy headline. Might want to work on the headline, My Northwest. Listen to this, though. It looks like gasflation is back. The average price of gasoline in the state of Washington is $4.33 a gallon. That is 43 cents higher than just a month ago. That's about 10% higher, if I had to guess, and 9 cents higher than a year ago. According to the AAA, which is the American Automobile Association, the average gas price in King County is $4.54 a gallon. In Snohomish is $4.40. In Pierce County, we have a ton of listeners in Pierce County. You guys are paying $4.38 a gallon. In Thurston, it's also $4.38 a gallon. My Northwest spoke to Andrew Gross. He is the AAA spokesperson. He says this is the time of year we normally see pump prices start to rise. And while prices have been rather pokey so far, I don't know what pokey means, they should begin to accelerate and move higher very soon. That's a bummer. I don't want gas prices to go up because I pay for gas all the time. I don't have an electric car. I drive a truck. And that means that I'm paying a lot for gas. According to the American Petroleum Institute, gas prices are affected by a number of factors, including global supply shortages, workforce constraints, and geopolitical instability in Eastern Europe. Yes, I understand all those things. Here in Washington State, we also have another thing that affects gas prices. His name is Governor Jay Inslee.
Blame it on the governor, and they can blame me. I get all kinds of letters.
Yeah, he gets all kinds of letters. That's my opinion, and I think it's true. So in our state, we also have a 50-cent gas tax, which is why gas prices in our state are always way higher than everywhere else around the country. We're typically leading the way. Us in California, we're like kind of competing for who pays for the most in gas. It's usually coastal states. So like Washington pays a ton of gas. California pays a ton of gas. On the East Coast, they pay a lot in gas also. Let's see here. Gas prices are going to keep going up. That's Andy Lippo, president of the Lippo Oil Associates. This is going to cost the consumer more money. In the Seattle, Bellevue, and Everett area, the average price of gas was $4.50. The cheapest gasoline is at Angels of the Wind Fuel, which is at $3.59. That's pretty good, according to Gas Buddy. The highest price ever for gasoline in our state for unleaded fuel was $5.55, and that was back in 2022. We're still about a dollar off from that. Thank the Lord. I remember when gas was that high. Here's what I remember about that, which was no fun. You guys remember this too, unless you're 1 year old and then you just missed that. But you're still listening to this show, so good for you. You're going to be well informed. You're going to have a smart life. It's like a bad way to describe life. So I remember back in 2022 when gas like went over $5 a gallon and then it kept going and it was like $5.50 something. And I remember because I have like, it's 24-gallon tank or something in my truck, 25-gallon tank. I would fill up at the pump and I'm just sitting there and I'm watching as it's just ticking up and up and up and up. Like $135, $140 every time I filled up my gas tank. And I was standing there one day and I'm standing across the pump from another guy who's in a bigger truck than mine. So I felt even worse for him. And we kind of look at each other and we have this camaraderie that instantly happens because we both know what the other's thinking, which is, this is insane. How much longer can this last? And he says to me, I thought this was hilarious. He goes, you know, I'm really tired of having to make long-term life choices every time I fill up at the gas station. And he's totally right. Gas is so expensive. And it's getting more expensive now again. And I know this like sounds like a broken record, somebody complaining about gas. And you might just say to yourself, just go off and buy an electric vehicle. Electric vehicles have a lot of costs associated with them too. One, they're really expensive. They cost a lot more to get in initially. I read one article that was saying that you don't really get back the savings on gas on an electric vehicle until about 10 years into owning an electric vehicle. So like Teslas, yes, they're really cool and they're really great and I love them, but they're also really expensive. So I'm going to have to wait 10 years before I recoup the extra cost on that vehicle before it actually makes sense, according to some articles that I have read about it. In the meantime, I'm still paying a ton for gas. Listen to this. Between March 7th and March 14th, Washington saw the third highest increase in price per gallon, according to a AAA press release. Two states saw a 10 cent per gallon rise. That was in Texas and Alaska. And two other areas experienced a 9 cent rise. That was in Oregon and Washington, D.C. Most Americans, this is the depressing part. Every time one of these stories pops up, you always find out what everybody else is paying for gas. And you always go, man, I feel like a dummy for living here. Why do I pay so much for gas? Most Americans continue to see the average gasoline prices march higher last week. The reason is the season, they say. This is all according to Gas Buddy. Gasoline demand is rising as more Americans are heading out, combined with the summer gasoline switchover, which is well underway and continuing and continued refinery maintenance. That's according to a spokesperson for Gas Buddy. The madness should slow down in the next few weeks as we've seen positive data that refinery output is starting to increase, which is great. A sign that the peak of maintenance season could be behind us. I doubt that. I think we're still going to see some higher gas prices. If you're wondering how much other people are paying for gas in other states, listen to this if you just want to feel depressed. This is what gas costs in Idaho, just across the state line. $3.43 a gallon. It's almost a dollar cheaper than ours. And why is that? Well, and that's even less than the average in the U.S. The average in the U.S. is $3.48 a gallon, which is still almost a dollar cheaper than we're paying in Washington State. And why is that? Well, we have the expensive gas tax, which we just talked about a second ago. That's unique to our state. I know other states have gas taxes, but we have a 50 cents a gallon gas tax. So every time you get a gallon of gas, the long fingers of Washington State government reaches into your wallet and they say, hey, you know what? Some of that's coming our way. Another thing that's affecting the cost of your gas is, of course, Jay Inslee's Climate Commitment Act. Now, when he was asked about this, Inslee said, hey, you know this Climate Commitment Act, which everyone's saying is going to raise the cost of gas, raise the cost of everything? Specifically, he was asked about this gas tax. And he said, you know what? No, it's not going to have any effect on the consumer. In fact, if it does have an effect on the consumer, it's just going to be pennies, nothing.
This is going to have minimal impact, if any, pennies. We're talking about pennies, potentially. Not all of this would be passed off to the consumers, and what they would be pennies.
Just pennies. Just pennies. That's a lot of pennies, and I don't want the pennies anymore. I want my pennies back. Because every time I buy gas, I'm adding that up every single time. And I can't, it's not a fun process. I just don't like it. And I'm not sitting here trying to complain. I'm not trying to be just a person who's ranting all the time. Yesterday, I ranted plenty about the Washington State Ferry System, and it wasn't their fault that a big U-Haul truck tried to cut in line in front of me. But I don't like that it takes forever to get on the Washington State Ferries, and I don't like that we're paying almost a dollar more per gallon than if I were to buy gas just across the border in Idaho. That's no fun. So I wish that they would fix that, and I wish that voters in Washington State would start to make that a priority. Because we don't have to be paying this much for gas. We just don't. I understand certain times of the year it's going to be more expensive. Yes. But why are we always like a dollar more expensive than the national average? Every time you buy gas. That's not fun. I don't want that for you. I know you work hard. I work hard for my money. You're working hard for your money. So why are we wasting it on these extra taxes that we don't need to be wasting it on? Make a change. Hold these politicians accountable. That's all I want to say to you guys. I'm going to tell you how to vote. I don't care if you vote Democrat. I don't care if you vote Republican. I think all politicians are kind of loony and crazy. What I want for them to do is to care about what makes your life easier. That's what I want. I'll vote for whoever makes my life easier and cheaper. That's what I want. Like, my big concerns are cost. Just don't get in my way. Don't take more of my money. That's all I want. It's like simple things, like very simple little things. All right, let's get to some other news. This was interesting, actually. This is one that just passed recently in our state, and I found this really fascinating. The bar exam, no longer required in Washington State.
How did you cheat on the bar exam in Louisiana?
I didn't cheat. I studied for 2 weeks and I passed.
That, of course, was Leonardo DiCaprio, who was playing a character named Frank Abagnale in the movie Catch Me If You Can. And he says that he just studied for 2 weeks. Listen, the bar exam is really, really hard. I know a lot of people who have taken the bar exam. I got some lawyer friends. I understand that it's very difficult. Listen to what's happening in Washington State now. And this is raising some interesting questions. Like, what's the future of law practice look like in Washington State? I'm very interested in this. And I don't know what's right or wrong. I'm just interested in this. Under the court's new changes, Washington will create 3 experiential learning alternatives to the bar exam. So this is how this is going to work. Law school graduates will have to do a 6-month apprenticeship under the guidance and supervision of a qualified attorney, as well as they're going to have to take 3 more standardized courses, so maybe a little more coursework and a longer apprenticeship period. Students still in law school must complete 12 qualifying skills credits and do 500 hours of work as a licensed legal intern. They must then submit a portfolio of this work to waive the bar exam. So the bar exam, as I understand it, is still going to be offered. People can still take the bar exam. But because now the state is saying that, hey, we're not going to require it for everyone because they think that some people don't have full access to take the bar exam. Or what did they say here? What did they say? Why are they not forcing people to take the bar exam anymore? According to this article, the state is also lowering the minimum score to pass the bar from 270 to 266, a lower threshold previously adopted during the pandemic. Those who do take the rigorous test will take a new updated bar exam that addresses many of the identified flaws in the current bar exam by focusing on real-world skills and practice, and that'll start in the summer of 2026. Let's see. The court is also calling for assessments and programs to help lawyers remain competent throughout their careers, not just when they are licensed. A timeline for all the changes is not yet set, but they will be implemented by the Washington State Bar Association. Let's see here. Last week's decision makes Washington the 2nd state to do away with the bar exam requirement after Oregon made the same decision for similar reasons back in November. So they're basically saying that, like, not everybody has equal access to what they would need to have to successfully take the bar exam. And so they're saying, hey, you don't need to do it anymore. We're just going to offer alternative paths, these experiential learning paths, instead of you having to take the bar exam. It's still available. People can still take it, but they're not required to take it anymore. It does make me wonder this. Like, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but these are just things that I'm wondering. Do you think this is going to make for better or less prepared lawyers? The fact that some people won't take the bar exam. I don't know the answer to that. But it is interesting to me because it is still being offered. So clearly they think it's still worthy of being taken. Not everybody's going to take it, obviously. Some people are going to take one of these other routes, which is their rights now in Washington State. But then I start looking at things like think about a CPA. Like, CPAs have to get various certifications. Financial planners, they have to get various certifications. So, like, when you see a financial planner's name or their business card or whatever you're on their website checking out, if you think they're going to be good stewards of your money, they'll have a little thing there that says a CFP certificate. Certificate, which I believe means certified financial planner. There's other things that people have to get. They have to take Series 7 and all these different things. So they know, so they have proven that they can be good stewards of your money. Since the bar exam is still offered, is there just going to be like a two types of attorneys now? Like, when I'm choosing for a lawyer, like, let's say I get into a situation where I need a lawyer, like I want to have a will drawn up, or I need somebody to defend me in court because I have been arrested for having too many traffic tickets. I don't know what the case may be. But when I'm looking at lawyers to pick, am I going to be choosing, like, are they going to have some designation beside the lawyer's name when I'm looking at all these lawyers trying to choose which lawyer that says, hey, I actually passed the bar exam? Is that going to be a thing now that people put down? I would. If I pass the bar exam, still really tough to pass. So I would put it down, just like anybody who goes to a really good school. They always are like sneaking that into conversations. They're like, yeah, you know, like when I was at Cornell, that, you know, and you're like, oh, you went to Cornell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did I mention I went to Cornell? I didn't go to Cornell, actually. But people do mention when they go to Ivy League schools because they want people to know, like, it was tough to get into. And I am a high achiever because I went to this Ivy League school. I think it could be the same thing with the bar exam now. I think people might just go, hey, you know what? I took the bar exam. And suddenly I'm going to go like, oh, okay, well, if I have the choice between a lawyer who took the bar exam or another lawyer who says, well, I just did the, I chose a different path. I did the qualifying skills credits. I did 500 hours of work as a licensed legal intern. If I had to choose between those two, I might say to myself, well, you know, all things being equal, maybe I'll just take the person who's passed the bar. It just makes me more comfortable. All right. Very quickly, I found this one fascinating. This is something we talked about recently. Listen to this headline. Seattle law mandating higher delivery driver pay is a disaster. Reason had this article, and I found this really fascinating. They have now looked into, because we have a couple months of information now, a couple months of data, since the city passed this ordinance that was mandating, you know, this pay-up ordinance that they adopted in 2022. It went into effect in January 2024, so the first part of this year. And what they found was, very, very quickly, it was having all these unintended consequences. And people were recognizing that, oh, you know what? This is actually making things really, really expensive. Even though maybe the intentions were good, they were saying, hey, we want to establish a base pay for gig workers, specifically driver, like food delivery drivers, like DoorDash, Uber Eats, places like this, have to pay their workers a minimum of 20, I think, what was it? It was going to be 26, about 26 bucks an hour, over 26 bucks an hour. Now, Seattle's minimum wage is less than that. It's $19.97 an hour. But for these delivery gig workers, they were saying, well, there's extra costs associated with it. They have to upkeep their vehicles, things like that. So they actually need to be making more money. They need to be making $26 an hour. The problem is, as they quickly learned, now that they've had a couple months to look into the data, is that people stopped using those apps. And so the drivers, because of all these fees being tacked on, you force a company to start paying somebody more. They're not going to start making less money, these companies. They're going to say, all right, well, we're just going to like charge our consumers more. We're going to charge our clients more, our customers, where they're going to have to like eat that cost. So things are going to get really expensive. You're going to have $26 coffee runs. You're going to have $32 sandwiches. You're going to have $35 Wingstop orders because you have all these fees that are tacked on to these orders. And the drivers immediately started noticing that, oh, actually, you know, this like new pay up ordinance, maybe it's not such a great thing.
Sundays before the ordinance, we'd be thinking breakfast.
Fewer orders.
You know, people, they love their breakfast. Sunday today, I don't even touch it. They're not going to order.
And they're saying, you know, yeah, they're not even touching. They're not even doing Sundays anymore. And they're saying this $26, like, yes, maybe that was the intended, you know, price that people would get per hour. But that was assuming that you were running orders every hour full time with a full load of orders. But that's just not happening.
Assuming that you are working constantly, then yes, you're going to be making that much money. But that's not what's happening right now because people are not ordering as much anymore.
So here's the interesting part this article points out, and I find this fascinating. I don't know why city officials are so slow to respond to these things, but listen to this. A spokesperson for the mayor, now that they have this data, and now that they know that people are making less, in fact, a lot of these drivers are not even working these jobs anymore, and people are deleting the apps. DoorDash reported 30,000 fewer orders within just the first few weeks. So it's hurting the mom and pop businesses as well. So is this a bad ordinance? Do they just scrap this thing and let it go back to what it was? Listen to the response from the city officials. A spokesperson for the mayor said, should the data show that there have been unintended impacts for workers and small businesses, we are always open to making improvements. But nonetheless, further clarified, they said that the mayor still strongly stands in support of the minimum wage ordinance. So even if it's not working, I guess they still strongly support it. Seattle City Council President Sarah Nelson, she says she's very worried about it. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. And then she went on to say she's not going to redo the whole legislation. So what I'm hearing here is that you have these policymakers who are saying, yeah, we recognize that this is not going where, how we wanted it to go, but we're also not willing to make changes, which is a problem. If something's not working and it's broken, it needs to be fixed. That's my thought anyway. You might disagree with that. That's fine. All right. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. All right, I found this really fascinating. You guys know who Don Lemon is? Don Lemon was a really big deal at CNN. He was there for like 17, it's almost for two decades he was at CNN. Anyway, he had a bad night when he was talking about Nikki Haley. He made some comments about her age and her not being in her prime, and he and CNN abruptly parted ways.
She said 75 and up, so that would include Trump.
Elder statesman here.
This whole talk about age makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, you know, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s. That's not according to me.
Prime for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not saying I agree with that. So I think she has to be careful about saying that. You know, politicians aren't in their prime.
You need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for like childbearing, or are you talking about prime for being president?
What the facts are. Google it. Everybody at home. When is a woman in her prime? It says 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I'm just saying Nikki Haley should be careful about saying that politicians are not in their prime, and they need to be in their prime when they serve, because she wouldn't be in her prime according to
Google
or whatever it is. And you have to be careful because older people vote. Older people watch linear television, right? And so she has to be careful about turning off a certain constituency who may be her strongest set of supporters.
All right. So clearly you can hear there that his co-hosts are not loving that he's saying that Nikki Haley is not in her prime because I don't know what it was. She wasn't in the prime age for a woman. So that was how he had it led to his parting at CNN. So he was no longer employed at CNN. And so he was then kind of sought after on X. Like, a similar thing happened to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was a host on Fox News. He and Fox News parted ways, and Tucker Carlson then decided to start hosting his show on the platform X, formerly known as Twitter, which we are required to say. We're not actually required to say that. We just like to identify what X is, in case you don't know by now. So Don Lemon starts his show on X, and one of his big gets is Elon Musk. And he and Elon sit down for a long interview. After the interview, listen to this. Don Lemon posted this to Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter. Shortly after the interview, I guess in some sense, X was going to be part of the production process or was going to have a partnership with Don Lemon in this new show. But after the interview, Lemon posted this. He said, Elon Musk has canceled the partnership I had with X, which they announced as part of their public commitment to amplifying more diverse voices on their platform. He informed me of this decision hours after an interview I conducted with him on Friday. That interview will remain the premiere episode of The Don Lemon Show on Monday, March 18th, which was, of course, yesterday. Elon then posted this to explain his side of things. He posted on X attempting to explain what had happened. He says that Lemon's approach was basically just CNN, but on social media, which doesn't work, as evidenced by the fact that CNN is dying. This is Musk talking. And he said, and instead of it being the real Don Lemon, it was really just former CNN president Jeff Zucker talking through Don, so it lacked authenticity. All this said, Lemon / Zucker are, of course, welcome to build their viewership on this platform along with everyone else. And then in a subsequent post, Musk wrote, referring to Don Lemon, he says, Lemon is welcome to monetize on this platform just like everyone else. What we aren't going to do is to guarantee minimum payments to him as he was demanding, which would be going beyond everyone else. Unfortunately, all Lemon wants to do is rehash the dying CNN business model, but on social media, which will do an even worse here than it did on cable TV. So this interview, which apparently caused the split of, you know, that they were no longer going to be partnering on this Don Lemon show, was finally released. And I have some cuts. It's about an hour and 6 minutes long, I think. It's pretty awkward, if I'm being honest. Like, the interview seems kind of contentious. They don't seem to be really enjoying each other's company for a majority of the interview. And so I have a few clips here. Don Lemon, and I thought you would enjoy listening to those. Don Lemon sat down with Elon Musk. I think they're at the one of the Tesla, massive Tesla buildings. And they do this interview, and Don Lemon asked him, he says, hey, are you going to be giving money to either political candidate? Because Elon Musk is very, very rich. He is often the richest man in the world. So he could give a lot of money to one of these candidates. Elon Musk says no. And he explains why he's not giving money to either candidate.
You said you're not going to donate to any candidate.
That's correct.
Why not? I think while I'll voice my opinion, I think I don't want to put a thumb on the scale monetarily that is, you know, significant.
Are you going to loan him money to help pay his bills?
No,
not at all. Pay his legal bills.
I'm not paying his legal bills in any way, shape, or form.
And he did not ask you for money.
And he did not ask me for money.
Elon Musk was also asked, Don Lemon asked Elon Musk, are you going to endorse any candidate? And Elon Musk said, listen, it's early in the race, but maybe, but not right now.
So you're not going to endorse a candidate?
I may in the final stretch endorse a candidate, but I don't know yet. I want to make a considered decision before the election. And if I do decide to endorse a candidate, then I will explain exactly why.
Are you leaning towards anyone?
No.
You're not leaning towards anyone? Because you've been...
Well, I'm leaning away from Biden.
You're leaning away?
I've made no secret of that.
He's leaning away from Biden. All right. He also was asked what... This is an interesting statement that he made. He basically says, Musk says, and you can do this when you have a lot of money. They have a term for that when you have a lot of money, but I won't say it on the radio here, but they have a term for that. He basically says he does not care what the media thinks of him, because I think he correctly assesses here that the mainstream media are pretty bad judges of character. Oftentimes, they're very, very bad judges of character. And so he talks about that.
Do you think if you moderated yourself more, if there was better content moderation on the platform, that you wouldn't have to answer these questions from reporters about the great replacement theory as it relates to
I don't
Democrats,
have to answer these questions.
The great replacement theory as it relates to Jewish people. Do you think that?
I don't have to answer questions from reporters. Don, the only reason I'm doing this interview is because you're on the X platform and you asked for it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not do this interview.
So you don't think, do you think that you wouldn't get in trouble or you wouldn't be criticized for these things?
I'm criticized constantly. I could care less.
You don't care?
No, I don't.
Why not?
I don't think people should care what the media thinks about them. They're terrible judges of character.
Even someone who has one of the biggest social media and biggest information platforms in the world, you don't care? You don't think that you have any X.com or you have any responsibility to the truth or moderating the platform?
You're conflating the truth with the media, and I think the media is not truthful.
This is really interesting, actually. I mean, I know a lot of people out there don't like Elon Musk, but what I do agree with what he's saying there, and I actually like Elon Musk, but what I do agree with what he's saying there is that people should not care about what the media thinks about them, which is really interesting when you think about it. Like, the media used to be, the news used to be a thing that you would tune into at night when you got home from work. You would sit down there and you would watch Walter Cronkite or whoever, and you'd have a glass of whiskey and you'd hear about what was happening in the rest of the world. And now the media is very different. It's just a whole different thing. There's a lot more of this that I want to play for you, actually, because it gets really contentious and it gets kind of awkward. But I like watching awkward and contentious things as long as I'm not part of it. So I'm going to play you some more cuts when we come back here. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, before the break, I was playing you some clips from this really contentious, uncomfortable, I would describe it as awkward, interview that Elon Musk did with Don Lemon. Don Lemon had this show that was supposed to be on X. It was supposed to be in partnership with X, and it was going to be called The Don Lemon Show. Shortly after this interview happened, which was last week, Elon Musk made an announcement that he was no longer going to be partnering with Don Lemon on the show. He was saying, I'm not pulling the show. I'm not going to cancel it. I'm not going to force you to get off of the X platform. You are more than welcome to still promote this and broadcast it on the X platform. I'm just not going to be partnering with you on it. And Don Lemon was, you know, obviously not what he was expecting. So, but Don Lemon still released the interview. We now have it for you here. And it's kind of fascinating because it's contentious and it's awkward and it's uncomfortable. And I like those types of things, which is why I like watching The Office. So listen to this. They got into this conversation about censorship. Elon Musk takes a ton of heat because on X, they won't take down things that other people tend to think are hate speech. And he says, well, listen, some of the things that people say might be hateful, but if it's not illegal, then we're uncomfortable taking things down if it's not outside of the bounds of the law. And so Don Lemon appears to disagree with that in this clip. I'll let these two guys hash it out, but it's really interesting conversation.
So Don, you love censorship is what you're saying.
No, I don't love censorship.
Then why are you asking?
I believe in moderation, but I don't believe in
censorship. Moderation is a propaganda word for censorship.
But don't you think free speech is one thing, right? Or not, you know.
Look, if something's illegal, we're going to take it down. If it's not illegal, then we're putting our thumb on the scale and we're being censors.
You're putting your thumb on the scale for moderating hate speech? I mean, you don't put out child pornography. That's not...
It's illegal.
Some people would say that's considered censorship. I'm just saying, you...
No, I literally... Don't you...
Who would say that child pornography... Stopping child pornography is censorship? That's illegal. Nobody should have child pornography. That's a bad thing. I think that's a bad comparison.
No, I literally said, if something is legal, okay, we will obviously remove it.
Okay.
But if it is not legal, the laws in this country are put forward by the citizens. We're a democracy. If those laws are put in place by the people, we adhere to those laws.
Okay, and I agree.
To the laws of others. If you go beyond the law, you're actually going beyond the will of the people.
So then they start talking about the difference between mainstream media, which Don Lemon, he's no longer a part of. He used to be part of when he was working at CNN, but no longer a part of. They were talking about the difference between that and a platform like X or social media.
But that would never be in mainstream media. These types of images, that type of language, those things would never be. We'd never, when I was in mainstream media, we'd never promote things that would be anti-Semitic. We would never promote things that would.
Anti-Semitic either.
Did you not see those?
You said promote. If content is on the platform, that doesn't mean we promote it.
But that wouldn't be on a platform for mainstream media at all.
No, but you can think of that. That's because the mainstream media has like, whatever, 20 articles a day. We have 500 million posts a day.
So this was another interesting point, actually, that he was saying. He was talking about advertisers. There's been all sorts of news stories because I think the news media, generally, this is what I feel. I feel like mainstream media has an interest in Musk not being successful with X. And the reason I think that, and just like hold your judgment in me for a second, but the reason I think that is because he is a competitor to these mainstream media outlets. They're trying to deliver news. It's a vehicle. They are a vehicle for delivering the news. They make money in the business of delivering news. Elon Musk, he also makes money in the business of delivering information. So CNN or Fox News, they don't want Musk to be super successful because they would rather you be looking at their site. They would rather you be getting information from them. And so if you're getting it from X, formerly known as Twitter, then you're not getting it from those other mainstream sources. And so then they do stories about how all the advertisers are pulling out from X, and it feels a little bit like they're trying to not encourage his success, which I understand, whatever. This is like how businesses work. Why would you want your competitor to be successful? But Musk was asked about that. They said, hey, do you care about advertisers who are leaving X? And he says, listen, for the ones that are leaving, they're leaving because they want us to censor things. And on X, they're not going to censor things, so he doesn't care.
I mean, when you say the buck stops with the president of the United States, regardless of what happens, right? So why would that question upset you? You seem upset by it, are you?
I think you're...
And I'm not trying to upset you.
Well, you are upsetting me because the way you're phrasing the questions, I think, is not cogent.
It's not what?
Not cogent.
Cogent.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So if given a choice where an advertiser is saying, like, you have to censor all this content on the platform, irrespective of where their advertising appears, then our answer will be like, look, you can choose where you want your advertising, what you want your advertising to appear next to, but you can't insist on censorship of the entire platform. If you insist on censorship of the entire platform, even where your advertising doesn't appear, then obviously we will not want them as an advertiser.
I just think it's really interesting. It's really interesting. But apparently that conversation led to their partnership not moving forward. All right. That's the end of our show. I hope you guys had a good night. We had a blast bringing you all this stuff. Unfortunately, we didn't get to like half of the audio that I wanted to play for you guys tonight. We're just going to have to save it for tomorrow. But tomorrow we're going to have way more than we can even play. So it's just going to disappear, I guess. But we have a lot of fun doing the show. I hope you guys enjoy listening to it. I hope you all have a wonderful night. And I hope you have a great day tomorrow. Just remember, check us out tomorrow if you get a chance. It's going to be a lot of fun. But for now, I got to get some sleep. Night-night.